basket around only once today, and that'll be for our missions. Appreciate the giving. You guys have been faithful on that for years, and I know God's used it. That's for sure. Today's lesson is going to probably be more questions than answers. And I have a reason for that, because I think a lot of things we'll cover today takes a lot of digging, a lot of looking into scriptures. And I think some of it explains a lot of other things in the Bible as we go. And we're getting into some sections in Corinthians that I'm not skipping. But as I told when the pastor was talking, and I've told him, I said, I think there are certain things, it's pastoral guidance and counseling. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to counsel a Sunday school class. You know what I'm saying? I'm not your pastor. But I'm going to take some things in here in the Bible and show you some warnings and some disciplines in the Scriptures. And we may spot pick 5 through 7 here, because we're dealing a lot with marriage and divorce and things. And I look at this thing here two-sided. I think a lot of times we take one scripture in the Bible and bombard it without much thought of putting the other scriptures together with it. And we do that. I'll give you one little example. I heard a preacher say one time, and talking to another preacher, unless I'm reading this, he said, "You can't preach." He said, "You're not married." And he said, and this man had been divorced. He said, "Okay." He said, "I'll go get married." He said, "You can't preach. You have two wives." He said, "I thought you said I didn't have one." Come on. Now, I said that in a joking way, but I'm going to put things out there for you to think about, and then you go into the Scriptures and you find out what God said. But, buddy, before he gets in, too, talking about marriage and divorce, and Romans chapter 7, I speak to them that know the law, and then you know that a group is not under law. But before he gets into that, he's going to nail some things down here that puts the fear in people, okay? So if you're sitting there thinking, "Well, Joe, he's going to get up there and he's going to say I can get married many times I want to." No. Ain't what I'm saying. By no means. He starts off here in 5, and he gives the warning. And I'm going to ask some questions today. And I want you to think about these questions, and I want you to dig in this Bible and see what you come up with. It is reported commonly, in this verse, chapter 5, it is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. This is a church. This is saved people. I'm telling you, these, you can say, "Well, that one, well, he wasn't saved." No, 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 he's saved people. Paul addresses that in this book. He's Corinthians, his converts. He's their father by the gospel. But this thinking of some people, okay? But he goes up here talking about, and he uses the word fornication. This time people want to call it premarital sex, consensual sex, adult consent. Come on, it's fornication.
Yes, sir.
And now, why is it so dangerous? Why is it so dangerous? We're going to look at that. I want us to look at some questions now, and questions and answers, and when a preacher stands up And he goes through a ceremony. How long has that ceremony existed in American culture? Let's say in world culture that he's doing. You'll trace it back Catholic. Okay? Now, I'm not putting down marriage. You've got to listen to what I'm going to say today. I'm asking some questions. When that preacher says, "I now pronounce you man and wife, you may kiss your bride," what magical thing happened? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Did it? Who put them together? When a marriage is, the Lord puts them together. And what the Lord puts together, let no man put asunder. But what the Lord puts asunder, let no man put back together. That's my statement on the back end of there. Sometimes he'll put something asunder, and we'll want to put it back together. That's relevant to that, isn't it? But what constitutes a marriage? A ceremony? Three people. Isn't it three or four? How many people? Maybe more, but I'll just use three. A judge, a magistrate, a preacher. Who gives them authority to marry? Anyone. Somebody does. Who is it? It's the state. Who gives the state authority to put somebody together? A license. See what I'm talking about? When that magistrate says, "I now pronounce you man and wife," what magical thing happened? Nothing. Something to think about, isn't it? Now, what constitutes a marriage? I've studied hard on this, folks. I mean, I'm not just up here making little questions out. I've looked at this thing. We're going to read some scriptures. I see the time flying, so I'm just going to talk about some of these today. We'll read the scriptures later. But when Isaac was waiting on his bride in Genesis, I want you to think about something. I want you to read that this week. The Spirit, representation of the Spirit, brings her to the field, and she sees Isaac. She lights off the candle. She veils herself. She runs to him. He takes her into Sarah's tent, the Bible says, and she became his wife. Is that not clear? There was no ceremony. She became his wife. Now, the Bible says in Genesis, and in Genesis 2, let me read that right quick. We'll take our time with this because I want us to see this. 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." One flesh, right? Remember that. "And they shall be one flesh." All right, let's look at cleave, the word cleave. Turn to Ruth. In Ruth, chapter 1, verse 15, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee after. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Then look at verse 13. "Would you tarry for them till," talking about if she couldn't have more sons, if she did, would you tarry? Would you wait on them to be your husband? "Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from stay them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the Lord, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I'm missing something I need to read. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You see that? That's cleaving. Now watch this. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. Don't run me off. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. That's a marriage God puts together. That's cleave. He shall cleave to her. He'll take her as his. Now, what constitutes the marriage? Not a ceremony. All right? But we see here, and I can't get by this verse without pointing this out. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She runs Orpah off with those words. With that, not, you know what I'm saying? All these things are against me. Joseph is not, Simeon is not. Now he would take mine only son, Benjamin. Jacob cried. When God was fixing to deliver him and deliver his people the same way with Naomi. And with her pouting there, what happened? A person goes back to the world. That's true. Look at it. We only look at one side of that story. We look at how Ruth clave to Naomi. But there's a definition of cleaving, okay? That's as clear as you can get about cleaving to someone. Their God will be your God, your family, their family. Buddy, that mother-in-law, we like to make the jokes about she's your mother. Hey, man. Yes, sir, you better love her like that too. All right, there's ceremonies, and they all come from a lot of them, the ceremony of a man and his bride interlocking arms and feeding each other, those come from covenants that was made. Really? When they feed each other the cake, I'm coming into you, you're going into me. I'm going to be you, you're going to be me. We're going to be one flesh. But how did God constitute that? I'm going to ask some questions. What constitutes a marriage? Not a ceremony. I got to be careful. I got to be so careful here. But I want to get your mind rolling and thinking and going through the scriptures. Whether you agree with me, whether you don't, I'm going to try not to put out my points. But when we take one scripture, I have questions in my mind how we do things sometimes. And one of the questions I have in my mind, which I submit myself to the authority as I do with law, to the jurisdiction having authority, right? But sometimes I wonder, is divorce the only sin God won't forgive? That's the way we look at it. That's the way we look at it, because we'll hold it over that person for the rest of their life. I ask, it ain't what I think about it, and I'm not teaching what I think about it, because I may be wrong. But I was with a guy talking to him one time, and he was a deacon at one time, he said, well, that guy can't preach. He's been married before. And it just hit me wrong. You know, I wasn't defending a position. But I said, is that the only thing God can't forgive him for? And he says, well, you know, he went on, God forgives for everything. But he said, I said, Can a man commit murder, then preach? If he committed it before he got saved? And God forgive him. He said, no, ain't no preachers preaching to commit murder. I said, what about a man that wrote several books in your Bible? Delivered Christians up. I'm sure they didn't take them in there and paddle them with a ping pong paddle and send them home. Now, we got to think, brother. But I'm going to get on the strong side of this. But my thing was, is this the only thing God won't forgive a man for? No. When you ask somebody, they'll say, well, God loves him just as much as he does this one. That's one of my answers, too. So, just think and see what the Bible says. Okay? Now, back to the strong side of this. What constitutes a marriage? A ceremony? What power happens? What magical thing happens when they say, I now pronounce you man and wife? Is that the authority given to a man to do that? He said, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. So my great question is, in some of these relationships, did God put them together? Now let's look at the sexual act. What constitutes a marriage? This is the danger of fornication right here. There's a lot of people. This is Joe Allen speaking. Give me permission. Okay? Not from the scriptures. But there's a lot of people who will say, you know, he's got more than one wife when they've got a bunch of them. I'm going to explain this better with scripture in a minute. When they had a bunch of them. Because he who is joined to a harlot is one flesh. What's the difference between a wife and a virgin in Ephesians 5? What is a virgin? She's a woman that's never known a man. What's the other side of that equation? Is there one that was a wife and was married? No, a wife is one who's known a man. Think on these things. And read your Bible. I know some of you, you're looking at me. You know, I like that. I like it when you're enthused to study. Now, we're going to look. Now, I said these things so we won't get judgmental on people. I mean that. These things in my mind, our preacher said this so much in the last few weeks teaching Genesis. There's so much I don't know. And I still have questions about. I question my brother. I think he listens to me a lot, but he can whoop me if he wants to. He could anyway. But he pastored a little church, about 25 people, built it to 100 and some people, decided to go to college, lost his wife. Come back and started doing some work. Still works in the ministry. But he went into a church and he was filling in for that church and he stayed there. I don't know, you've been there before. We're on Cane River. God blessing that place. God blessing that place. Stayed there a while. It grew and it started growing. He said, you got to call a pastor. They didn't call a pastor. I don't know how many years. I think it's almost 3 years. Church going and growing. And he said, you got to call a pastor. Then he just walked off because they wouldn't call a pastor. I said, was that the right thing to do? See, it may be, folks, but I got questions in my mind, in my heart. If God's doing it, you know, okay, now let's go to the other side of this coin. Let's flip it over and get tough. See, I have questions, I do. And all I'm saying and saying what I said before is don't be judgmental. Don't be that way. What constitutes a marriage? 6:15. Let's look at this. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall a man take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Okay. On the other side of this coin now, a person will say that God don't put things like that together. God's not doing that, okay? That God didn't really marry them people, or they're not really married by that act, or they really not, I'll say joined together by that act. I won't use the word marriage because we look at a ceremony of marriage. But they say, well, but here, they say they put cleaving in there with it, okay? But this man did not mention, this is not mentioned in cleaving, that he cleaved to that harlot and they become one flesh. He said he was joined to her. And a man that's going after a harlot ain't looking at her and saying, my family's going to be your family, your family's going to be my family. He's going for his flesh and fulfilling his flesh. And the dangers of that was they became one flesh. You can argue with the scriptures if you don't believe that. He who is joined to a harlot is one flesh. Shall you then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? He who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. He who is joined to a woman is one flesh. A lot of people who are judging people for marriage, first and second marriage, is got a lot of joined flesh. Telling you the truth. I told you that story about my dad. Didn't I tell you that? When I've told you this more than once, and just a couple weeks ago, I'm going to remind you again. I said, Dad, why do you think God has allowed you, when he was about 85 years old, to be as strong as you are and do like he does? That's one thing he told me about them men running around on their wives back when he was helping build a Blue Ridge Parkway. And he'd go lay. He couldn't make it back home. He'd go lay in that hay while them men went to the taverns and run around on their wives. And he said, Joe, I carried their caskets 20 years ago. Yeah. That's a sin against the body.
Yes, sir.
Before we judge a man that can't get along with a woman or something happens or fornication and puts her away, let's think about these things. And I'm not justifying divorce. Don't you say that I am. I'm just waking us up. And we look at this book to figure out what we're going to figure out. And what God said we'd cleave. He said, you find you a woman. He said, you found a good thing when you find a wife. And he said, you're to cleave to her. And then we got the definition of cleave over in Ruth. Your family's going to be my family. Your God's going to be my God. Your problems are my problems. And don't put me away. Amen? That's what he said. That's God's way. But man's way don't work. As I read, while I was doing some study on this, I was looking at one preacher who supports one side and one preacher who supports the other side. And one preacher said, this is a joke now, not a fact. He says, I'd rather want something I didn't have to have something I didn't want. Okay. But what God puts together, they'll cleave together, won't they? So you can't stand up here and say, old Brother Joe, he's teaching. No, I married my sweetheart, and neither one of us ever knew another person, and we've been married 48 years this May. Amen? So I'm not justifying anything. I just want you to be awake to what the Bible says and not what man teaches. And if I've missed the point, then you can find it in the scriptures and remind me of it. And I'll be willing to agree with you. But let's be careful, okay? And I won't teach, I've told you that, and I'll go on through these things. That's a pastor is a counselor, not me. Our pastor is. He's an under-shepherd. If you're to seek counseling, you don't want to come to me, you go to him. and he'll work with you on any problems you've got like that. But 6:15, look at 6:16. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Sex is a gender. Intercourse between a man and a woman was made by God for that man because it was not good for that man to be alone. That's what God said. He said it's not good for that man to be alone. Why? Because he made that man with desires and he made that man with things that would create problems. And Paul said when people were fasting, make it be consent between the both of you. Because your body is not your body, it's hers. And hers is not, is yours. Yours is, it's hers. That's what the Bible says, not me. That's the importance of the body. But we don't want to look at the importance of the body. We want to look at the license. We want to look at the ceremony. Exactly right. That's what we say constitutes a marriage. But when you go to the Bible, the father was the caretaker of the virgin. Right? And he looked after that virgin to keep her that way. And then he presented her to a man who took her and she became his wife. That's the dangers of fornication. Because it joins two parties. It's not just a consensual thing for pleasure. God intended it for cleaving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it is a danger. Why? It's a curse against the body. As my dad said, I carried them caskets 20 years ago. That's when the body's cursed, brother. That's when that's a law. And you, when God sets a law in order, God set a law on what would constitute a marriage. When we're going to get deeper in this. When he made a covenant, a man and a woman make a covenant together. That's where the speaking back and forth to each other comes from. And they make a covenant. But if it's the Lord's covenant, it can't be broken. Okay. 6:18. Flee fornication. Now what? We've read three of them. We'll read them all together in just a minute. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Do you see that? Or am I losing it? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You know what that tells me? You know what that shows me? The problem is not, well, I don't know how the problem, I'll say the danger of the whole thing of marriage and divorce is fornication. Now, why am I saying that? Because fornication is a sin against the body. We want to take it and say, forget about everything in our past. Okay? Because we got saved and God forgave us. He did, didn't he? Did he not bury our sins? Did he not bury them in the sea of God's forgiveness? Did it not say he who is joined to a harlot's one flesh? There's a lot of consequences. Okay? And that's why Jesus could say, you without sin cast the first stone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you see a man and a woman, God, I hope it never happens to any of us. And if anybody's in a second marriage, I pray God blesses that second marriage just like He wants it to be. But the problem that we don't want to face is us that that committed fornication want to get away with it. God forgave that, but He don't forgive some of these other things. We're going to hold them against you. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say it. Truth will make you free. Looking at the truth. What constitutes a marriage? See the danger of fornication? When Isaac took his bride, took her into his tent, and she what? Became his wife. And I'm sure they didn't go in there and have a ceremony. You know what that ceremony, what we make out of that ceremony? A sacrament. So what constitutes a marriage? How many of you have been married before? I didn't want you to answer me. I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? What constituted a marriage? Am I being clear? I'm trying not to say certain words. But brother, I'm reading you the Bible. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth, every sin is that not what he said? Every one of them? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there's the danger of fornication. I think that's pretty clear. In Genesis 22:23, if you want to read that later, that's with Isaac. In Matthew 19:5-6, let no man put asunder. It's what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, my question is here, and the question is here, did God put some of these together? There's an act of flesh becoming flesh. Okay? That's the sin of fornication. That's flesh joining flesh. And it's a sin against the body. Why? Because it was instituted to constitute a marriage. That's right. When I see Genesis chapter 15, and I see a covenant that God made with Abraham, And the seal of the covenant was what? Circumcision. And the cutting loose. The seal of a covenant between a man and a woman is intercourse. Fornication is a dangerous thing. And it's what takes hold when the world goes against God. That's what happens, okay? Ephesians 5:22. I hope I've not made this confusing. We'll hit a little bit more on it, but I'm just telling you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. It's His body. All right? And then He goes on, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You see that? That's why when a man's joined to a heart, they're one flesh. There's a joining together. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. You see that? That's a double barrel mystery. It's a mystery how we can be in the church with Christ, but it's a mystery how husband and wife can be one flesh. That's the dangers of fornication, folks. That's it. Before we leave, I want us to turn to 2 Samuel. I want to show you something that I was looking at here, and I pondered over it so much, and I didn't get it really straightened out, but 2 Samuel 11:27. And when we know the story of how David was on the rooftop and he looked and he saw Bathsheba, didn't he? And he saw her, and then he called for her, and he committed adultery. He committed fornication too. Amen. He was joined to that woman. Then when he found out he got caught, he tried to make it law, by the law. He tried to make the law cover him in his sin. The law wouldn't cover that sin. The law condemned it. Right? Because he knew that if he had to kill Uriah, then she could be his wife according to Deuteronomy. Romans chapter 7, I speak to them that know the law as long as the woman and man liveth. All right? So he's going to get him killed, and then he's not under that. You see what I'm saying? That didn't help him one bit, because the problem was already done. Watch this. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, look at 12:9. What the prophet said unto him. You know the story of him telling about the lamb that leads up to this. And the man taking the little lamb. What happened when he took the lamb is when the sin was committed. You following me? When he took Bathsheba, she became his wife. What's the difference in the virgin and the woman? She was Uriah's little lamb. Uriah's little virgin. It was his body. And he took her. And now watch this in verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You see what he's a commandment of the Lord? I don't have time. I ain't even got 2 minutes left. But you see where the sin, where the problem took place is the first time he brought her to him. She became his wife. We don't see no ceremony here. Watch this, verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And has taken his wife, to be thy wife. He's still calling This is after that. After 27, 11:27. The child dies, right? But look over here in verse in 12:24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Okay? At one point there, she's still Uriah's wife. At what point then, my question is to you, the research on, at what point did she become David's wife? What's the difference between a virgin and a wife? In Ephesians, Paul speaks of one. The virgin wore the clothing in here in Samuel to show she's a virgin. All right, now turn to 13, 2 Samuel 13. See, the sword's going to stay in the house because of the sin David committed. He took a little lamb that was that man's little virgin. That was that man's pure lamb, clean lamb, virgin lamb. We're a virgin bride. Amen? David messed her up. Now, I read where one guy said, well, you know, he prayed and he asked forgiveness and give me the two psalms that he said that he prayed and asked forgiveness. Too late. God said, to the prophet said, the Lord hath, before he prayed, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Already, previously, God straightened things out there. He got to put away thy sin. But watch this. You know the story of Ammon, right? Watch what happens here when he's took this girl in there, this young virgin in there. She wore the virgin's clothes. He took her in there and he raped her. And look at what he done to her. You know what they done? Genesis chapter 2, who he is joined to a woman, they'll be one flesh. Right? Harlot. Paul said that he who is joined to a harlot is one flesh. Now watch what she said in verse 16 of 2 Samuel 13. And she said unto him, there is no cause this evil. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Now this day and time, somebody rapes them. See what I'm saying? He said, this is greater. She said, this is greater that you've done to me. Now you're sending me away. We've become one flesh and now you're cutting me off. That's the dangers of fornication. So, what constitutes a marriage? A ceremony? What magical thing happens when the judge or the magistrate or the preacher says, I now pronounce you man and wife? Absolutely nothing. What's the grounds for man putting a woman away? Fornication. I hope that's clear. Before we get too judgmental on other people, that we see what really constitutes a marriage and how many we may have had. It's fearful to teach something like that. But when I come to it in the scriptures, I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to run from it. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us, God.